Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show.
But I'll tell you what, Bears fans.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
DJ Moore and Keenan Allen may just be the best tandem of wide receivers a rookie quarterback is inheriting.
The Rich Eisen Show.
As a first overall pick.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Still to come, comedian Preacher Lawson. Two-time NCAA champion and 13-year NBA veteran, Christian Laettner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact. Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show here on this Tuesday of the week leading into the March Madness and men's and women's basketball tournaments. We also have a week coming up of free agency. Spring has arrived in the rest of the United States of America as well. Lots to talk about with you at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial, phone lines are lit. We'll get to that. Also, there's a new mock draft from my colleague Daniel Jeremiah, and it's off the rails. If this is the way the NFL draft is going to go in the first hour of the NFL draft, we might have to take a full hour of commercial breaks after the first hour on NFL Network's coverage, because we would not be able to leave the draft hall if this actually happens. And we'll hit that coming up in this second hour. In hour number three, Christian Laettner is going to join us. Kurt Warner, we just you can't say we hung up with him, right? I mean, when he was a Zoom, we hit the end button.
I guess, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So Kurt Warner was on in hour number one, but we turn to our right now and welcome for the first time right here on the Rich Eisen Show in studio. His second comedy special, My Name Is Preacher, is available now on YouTube. He'll be part of the Netflix Is a Joke Comedy Festival in Los Angeles, which is quite something to be a part of. Best known for his appearance in season 12 of America's Got Talent, where he made it to the final round. Preacher Lawson is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm well, man. I'm really good.
And by the way, Howie Mandel handpicked you to return for the Fantasy League,
right?
He did.
And he didn't give me the golden buzzer, which is wild. But, you know,
why wouldn't he do that?
That's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't you do it, Howie? No, but yeah, he picked me, and then it was cool to be back, and then they gave the golden buzzer to someone else, but that's okay.
It's all good. Everything's good in your world.
Everything's great, man. Just found out I'm not the father. God is good. Just feeling, feeling blessed right now.
Okay. Congratulations are in order. Then?
I'm just playing. I am, but I'm not sticking around. No, I'm joking. I'm not.
You got to take off running now.
Oh, no. Okay. He said, I got to take off work. I got to work more. No, I'm good, man. That show is great. I mean, that show is great. It's crazy how much of the payoff it is when you lose, you know?
Well, that's good. Like, sure. I mean, well, look, Jennifer Hudson, I think, finished in sixth place
in
American Idol.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, it's not the if you're first, you're last. You know, you're if you're not first, you're last, you know? So congratulations. How did you get the call to America's Got Talent?
You know, it's funny because they do you can sit in line. And, you know, it'd be like thousands of people.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they have scouts. So they had a scout, the producer, find me. And then
Where'd they find you?
On YouTube.
Okay.
They went on YouTube and I went to they go to comedy clubs and they're who's the top 12 comedians? And they just do, you know.
Yeah.
So they can, because there's a lot of people. So they got to find a way to, you know. Excuse me, shorten the process, but there's still so they found me, but they find a bunch of people. So I still got to wait through a line. It's not thousands.
Yeah.
It's just hundreds, you know, maybe over 1,000. Mm-hmm. And then you do an audition in front of that producer, and then there's another one that you maybe get in front of, you know, the big judges.
Okay. And then you went and you crushed it.
And I went and I crushed everything. Yeah.
You took care of business.
I did.
You got a good Simon Cowell story?
Man, Simon, do I have Simon? No, he's a billionaire. He doesn't let me get close. You know? He doesn't, bro. I try to steal something from him, though. But he's awesome. Yeah, he's very nice. He's always been super sweet. And I mean, a bunch of Howie Mandel stories. Oh, okay. My gosh.
Give me your best one. What do you got there?
My best Howie Mandel story? I mean, one time this dude pranked me. I went on a private jet with him. Well, he asked me, he's like, hey, you want to go on a private jet? Which I'm like, who doesn't want to? Yeah, I want to go on a private jet.
Okay.
I've never been on a private jet. And he just pranked me all the way up leading, you know, to when I first met him in Jacksonville, Florida. We were supposed to fly from Jacksonville to L.A. Uh-huh. And we couldn't find a pilot, so they wouldn't pay the janitor $200 to sit because they need legally two people in the front.
Yes, right.
You know, so it just kept, like, when I met the pilot, he looked like he got whooped by his closet. He had, like, a mustard stain on his shirt. I'm like, what? His socks didn't match, which shouldn't matter. But I was like, that doesn't match. And, you know, we get on the plane, and it was just, like, everyone was scared, and it was just, everyone was in on it. He just pranked me really good. He got me really good.
So you thought that somebody thoroughly unqualified was about to fly you?
Yeah, like the guy that was supposed to, the co-pilot, because they couldn't find a co-pilot.
Yeah, right.
When we sat down, the co-pilot comes up and I was like, you ready to fly us? And then the co-pilot goes, Faith. And I was like, I'm getting off the plane. I was like, I'm leaving, man. He said five when he asked you how you doing. That's how you answer a question in any language. I'm like, I don't, but.
Five.
Yeah, he said five. And I'm, the accent, you know, I'm not going to get canceled. But, but when he said five, I was like, that makes sense.
Okay. Makes sense.
That
I like it. Preacher Lawson here on the Rich Eisen Show. But you and I, I think, have a similar story about commercial plane travel.
Yeah.
What about getting up in a seat or getting to the aisle or getting past somebody to get to the aisle that you have a choice? Did you want to run me through this here?
I mean,
preacher?
I think that, you know, when you get up, the plane, there's not much room. So somebody's about to take a booty shot to the face. I feel like, you know, it's not comfortable. I mean, some people it's comfortable. Some people wait. Some people get the aisle seat on purpose.
Yes.
some people are like, I can't wait to fly to Alaska. No, this is a long flight. No, but I think that it's just super uncomfortable, man. I don't like how I'll fall asleep on a plane immediately. Uh-huh. I already know how to. I put my eye mask on.
Oh, I can't do that.
You can't fall asleep on a plane?
I cannot.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I could.
But this is the trick. Do you have eye mask, headphones, and a neck pillow?
But it doesn't matter. I can't sit straight up. Doesn't matter what I put over my eyes or around my neck or anything like that.
If it doesn't work, I'll give you $3. All right? Bet. I guarantee you.
So what's my guaranteed sleeping kit? What do I have to do?
I guarantee you this will work. Okay? You put a neck pillow on the correct way because they put on their neck. And it's like your back is your neck is supported by the seat. You turn around to the front, so your chin is support.
Okay.
Yeah, so make sure it's supported. Then you put an eye mask on, and then you put headphones on, and then you have some, like, sleep music.
Okay.
And you are out. Bro, I do it. I'm out before the plane takes off. I sleep better on planes than I do in my bed. Honestly, it's the best way.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
So you're asleep and you're in the aisle seat. Now, what if somebody needs to get up to get
to
the...
That's what I'm saying. So I was asleep in the aisle seat, and the plane was full. And then when I got woken up by the flight attendant, like, hey, you're the last one on the plane. And I'm like, that means two people scoot they booty past my face, you know? And I was so mad because I was asleep. Because if I was up, no, I'm just playing. But that's two people scoot their booty past my face, man. Like, I feel like the plane is just not that much room. I mean, and it's like, people are silly on the plane. People get up as soon as the plane lands. It's like, bro, wait, you trying to rush to your baggage claim?
I have to be the first on the plane and the first off.
Oh, so you're the guy.
I'm the guy.
You're the guy that gets up.
Well, I'm the guy who gets up. Well, if I've got to go to the bathroom, I'm going to get up from the aisles, from the window seat through the aisle. And I was on a flight last Wednesday, and there was an older gentleman sitting in the aisle seat. And, you know, knew I had to get up because, you know, I did. When I have to get up from the window seat, I make a big show of it to give the person to my right a heads up. This is coming. Okay. So
it's always funny making eye contact to be like, you know, can I get up now?
Well, I don't want to say, hey, I've got to get up.
Yeah.
I just give him a heads up. So what I'll do is I'll close the iPad. Then I'll undo the buckle slowly and loudly. Then I will take the tray table on which my iPad has been resting. I will close that up. I will open and I will slam it down. Okay.
Yeah.
To basically give them a heads up. And then I will turn and then it'll be normally a head nod. And then the person will get up.
Yeah.
And then I will get to the aisle.
Yeah.
This guy refused to get up. As a matter of fact, what he did was he lifted his legs up. Okay. Yeah. Like took his knees.
Like origami. And just, yeah.
Like did one of those things and tried to. You know, use his core to get him up, his knees up to his chest. And it was weird because I thought he was an older gentleman. He didn't have probably that sort of flexibility in him.
But he did.
But it was one of those moments where I don't also like using the back of the seat in front of me to pull it because that's a pet peeve of mine. I don't want you to use the back of my seat to get yourself up out of your chair.
Yeah.
I had a choice, though. Which way do I face going past this man? I chose... Not violence. I chose, what did you say, the booty?
Yeah, the booty.
I chose the booty way out.
Yeah, because that would have been violent if you were just on your, you know, especially the way he was facing. Well, I mean, that would have been like,
exactly.
Y'all would have been making love
the,
at that point.
With his legs up in the air.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right? Man. So I chose that other way, but
maybe,
I just
maybe
kind
that's
of.
What he was like, happy baby. That's a yoga pose.
I've heard that one.
Okay, because I do it. I'm doing a happy baby sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know, man. Like this is kind of.
It's kind of provocative.
It works though. It works.
It does. You know, it does release the lower back. I understand. So I've been there, preacher.
Oh my God.
So I eventually return to the seat. It's a 5-hour flight, so one more time I got to get up.
Yeah.
I do the whole big move again.
Yeah.
You know, I gave him a heads up. He knew I was getting up. So he wound up sitting cross-legged this time.
Oh, cross-legged?
Yes. Like, sitting cross-legged. Like, he moved his, like, crisscross applesauce in the seat. And I couldn't believe he had that move in him. But the seat in front of him now was reclined to the point where I had no choice
to
go front.
You had to go front.
And there may or may not have been a graze.
Oh, wow.
This happened at like 40,000 feet to the point where I shot him a look.
This is your fault.
Yes! It's just like, dude, the graze didn't have to happen. You could have gotten up, right?
Maybe that was his plan.
It may have been. But, you know, when I got back to the seat, he could tell I was irritated. He goes, the seat in front of me was, you know, reclined. And I'm like, I had two choices. I'm like, that's why you should get up.
Yeah.
Or I just said to him, I don't know why I said this, but I just said, I understand.
So now he thinks that. Now he's like, go ahead.
Now it's just like, are you going to get up again? You know, no. So
I mean, you just
so I know that
up.
One of your, you know, pet peeves or conversation starters in your
I
act.
I always sit on the window seat. I don't mind waking people up.
Okay.
I mean, I do mind.
Right.
But I you know. Usually people get up.
Especially, just get up.
People get up, especially when they,
That's exactly what I think, too. So, all right. That's my story.
I
can't believe I just shared that on the show.
No, I like
but
it,
But I mean, dude sat, you know,
that's so
cross-legged. What
the
are you doing?
Seats are tiny.
Just get
up. That's pretty impressive, honestly. If someone's able, I can't even do that now.
You can't do that now.
I can't even do that now.
I know.
I'm not even going to try. I tried for a second.
Okay.
Do you think the guy would recognize you?
Huh?
You think that guy recognized you?
Maybe I have no idea.
Maybe he wanted that story to tell.
At this point in time, I don't care. I just wanted to get off that tin can. Now you're wondering, like, why the hell I wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, after. But I have to also be the first on a plane. You don't have to?
No, yeah. I just need to be early enough so I can get my bag on. I usually go last. If I can go last, I go last.
Why?
I just don't like rushing to my assigned seat. I just think because
I like how you use the word assigned.
I mean, because
if it's unassigned,
it
you better rush.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You got to shove people out of the way.
No, I'll wait until everyone loads up, and then I'll get on. But especially if I'm on a, if I'm on like a aisle seat or a middle seat, I don't feel like getting up to, oh, is this your seat? You know, you ever like argue with someone and then they're like, no, I'm this seat. And it's like, you just,
No, you just wave your finger.
Yeah.
Preacher Lawson here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you do some MMA training on YouTube. You put that on YouTube as well?
Well, I mean, I have an MMA fight on YouTube,
Okay.
You know, I lost. I wish they deleted it, but, you know, that's it's fine. But, yeah, I did MMA. I do Muay Thai and kickboxing.
Did you ever think of trying MMA? Like,
I mean, I was really good, man. I mean, it sucks. When you look at the video, it looks like I'm bad. You know, I was actually winning the first round pretty handily.
But?
And then he, I got excited. Because when you swing, you're supposed to... He's supposed to breathe, and I got so excited that I forgot to breathe. And then, like, maybe 30 seconds in, I was like, oh, I'm tired. So,
yeah, and almost passed out.
Exactly. And I looked at him, and he was like, I'm not tired. And I was like, that's not good. And then he ended up winning. But he, I mean, he didn't finish me. It was a three round, you know, match, but I was done first round. I was like, this is over.
You got submitted?
No, I didn't get submitted. It was just a decision.
All right.
He won the last two rounds.
Who's your fighter? Who do you like watching right now?
Man, you know, I love watching Israel. Israel Adesanya, he's not really fighting right now, but I like.
By the way, he's legitimately funny.
Oh,
we've had him on this show. Was it twice we've had him on this program?
Two times.
He went on. Not a rant, but it sounded like a complete bit. But I think it was off the top of his head about what he wanted to do to Jon Jones.
Oh, really?
When he came here, yeah, that he wanted to go to the new Raiders stadium. Where the Super Bowl just was, and scrape his nuts on him, is what he said.
That's very specific.
Like, it's exactly, that's what, that's the way.
He wants to go on a plane?
That's the way he, he didn't want to go
he
booty.
He wants Jon Jones to go across.
It's what he, like, that's what he wanted to do. That's his, that
he's like, I need to go to the bathroom, Jon. I'm trying to get started. It's a lot of dusting going on. It's a lot of dusting.
You're making,
I feel like it was an uneven amount, so I did one more.
I know.
Just in case. You know,
you don't want to throw out your your back.
I don't want
to. Understood.
I'm watching your fight right now. You're definitely winning the first round.
You said what?
I'm watching your fight right now.
Oh,
You're definitely winning the first round.
I was winning. Yes.
You were taking it to this dude.
Yeah. I forgot.
I know why you gassed out, though. You did a lot of dancing from the time you left.
I did.
From the time you left the locker room. You didn't stop moving. No wonder you tired. I'm surprised you made it through the first.
Man, it was a bunch of reasons. But yeah, I was so confident. I was like, I'm going to destroy this guy. It's going to be so easy.
You know,
and then I went in there and I was like, it is easy. And then I was like, it's not easy. And then it went from like, this is hard. And then it was bad, man. But he won. He won. It's all good. He's
funny.
Awesome.
It reminds me of way back in the day on NFL Network. I was doing a show. Rod Woodson had Sean Merriman on. You remember Sean Merriman of the Chargers? And he had like this lights out dance where he had this light switch, a tattoo on his forearm. And he would like turn it on and off. And he would do this sort of dance move every single time he sacked somebody. And Rod Woodson told him there's no way he's going to be able to keep that out later in his career. Keep that up because you're out of breath. That's what he said. It doesn't look. He said it doesn't look like you're breathing during your sack dance. So now you know. You gotta actually stop dancing. Yeah. Take your breaths.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're gonna get your ass kicked.
I love dancing though. That's the problem. I shouldn't be. I'm not a fighter anyway. I'm ticklish.
Okay.
You know, like I'm not. I shouldn't be fighting, man.
Imagine.
You know.
Somebody gets submitted in like UFC 300 one day, and it's because he's ticklish.
Yeah.
What happened to you? Says Joe Rogan. Well, I was ticklish.
Gucci goo got me. You know, that's what.
Okay. Treasure Island Theater in Vegas is next up for you. That's coming up on Friday. And then you're at the Hollywood Improv on the 24th in L.A., the Egyptian Theater in Boise, Idaho, the Best Day Ever comedy tour. You can go to PreacherLawson.com for that. And your special, My Name is Preacher, is now on YouTube, released yesterday. Congratulations
on
that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And you're part of Netflix is a Joke comedy festival coming up in May. That's some serious names in that one.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, I mean, it's you got every name, I think.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Including your name.
Yeah,
that'll be in the at the Bourbon Room. You can get tickets by going to PreacherLawson.com. That's on May the 2nd. That's a Thursday night that week. Congratulations on everything going on with you.
Thank you so much.
Come on back anytime you want.
I would love to, man.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And again, I'll fly again to come up with another good story for you next time you come
okay,
here.
Okay, I got you.
At Preacher Lawson on both Twitter and Instagram. Check it out. You'll be one of the 750,000 who follow this man on IG if you hit that follow button. We'll be back with the latest mock draft, more of your phone calls, Christian Laettner in hour number three, and then on the Roku channel, we'll show a clip of Preacher's new comedy special.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Christian Laettner, hour number three, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Let's take some phone calls here. Willie in Pennsylvania has been hanging on patiently. Hey. What's up, Willie? How are you?
Rich, I'm doing well. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. What's on your mind, Willie?
Yeah, you know, you would think Kurt Warner is sitting in my house listening to what I was thinking. Or in my brain.
Sure.
You guys brought up the subject of the quarterback issue. I'm a Steeler fan, long-time Steeler fan. And, you know, when Big Ben retired, you know, we thought it was the end of the world, you know, trying to find another quarterback. And we should have probably picked one up while he was still around. So the big thing that I guess I want to talk about was, you know, bringing in Russell Wilson, probably the smartest thing the Steelers ever done, especially for the price, you know. Pickett, I'm not sure what happened to him, why he wouldn't stay behind Russell Wilson, learn. I mean, you guys talk about development. And I think that's the big thing that's missing right now in the NFL. You know, they're throwing all these quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks in the front line. You know, they're not playing the way that they play in college because it's a different game. They lose their confidence. They don't, you know, all of a sudden you take, like the Cleveland Browns, you know, how many first-round pick quarterbacks did they take and they ruined them all? Right.
Well, you know, and I hear you, Willie, and I think that's part and parcel of why I think maybe, and thanks for the call, you know, as he just said, the Cleveland Browns ruined all the quarterbacks that they drafted. And that's what part and parcel, I think, why RG3, our friend, has gone on his Twitter feed and said that Caleb Williams should essentially no show and pull an Eli Manning and tell the Bears I'm not coming, because the Bears have had a long history of struggling developing a quarterback. You know, I guess you could say what their most successful quarterback of the last, what would you say, 10, 15 years was Cutler, who they acquired from Denver, fully formed.
Yeah, I mean, he's
right?
Probably their best actual quarterback, right. Maybe ever.
I mean, you could say Cutler's last, you know, first few years there was ballyhooed because they thought he was going to bring a Super Bowl there and wound up getting to an NFC championship game and wound up on a stationary bike. And that's as close as they got with Cutler. And then, you know, the Bears did Justin Fields no favors. Right. And that's what he's up until, I guess, sending him to the spot where he wanted to go. And that's why RG3 saying he shouldn't show or should threaten to not show. And I disagree with that take in terms of looking at what the Bears have right now for him. What the Bears have for him right now is a complete setup that Fields never got. And a lot of Bears fans think, well, this is the setup Fields deserves, and to the point where they should trade away Caleb Williams or the rights to choose Caleb Williams. And that I will disagree with, that it's a cold business. As much as I'm saying to start this program that there's no development of quarterbacks anymore. There's very little patience for the development of quarterbacks anymore. The Bears, I think, would have been very patient developing Justin Fields if the Panthers didn't suck so badly in their first year with Bryce Young. All they had to do is just win a game or two more, and the Bears would be sitting there at 3, 4, or 5, and they'd be the ones looking to trade out so somebody could get Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And they'd add more pieces for Justin Fields. Justin Fields is only gone because Caleb Williams has that big of an upside that they can't turn it down, I feel. How about this scenario? What if Carolina somehow, some way, didn't have to give up this year's first rounder to get last year's? Let's just say Ryan Poles didn't do his job as expertly as he has been doing to set the table for Caleb Williams to the tune of 2,000-yard wide receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift in the running back room now and an offensive line that is getting better thanks to using last year's first-round pick on an offensive lineman and the defense. Let's just say, for some reason, Ryan Poles slipped up and allowed Carolina to hold on to their first-round selection in this year's draft. And Bryce Young and the Panthers would be first overall on the clock this year. Would the Panthers flip Bryce Young for Caleb Williams? Mm-hmm. Like, have we reached the point where, if you will, Bryce Young gets Josh Rosen? Would we see a first overall pick in a draft because patience is not a virtue anymore? Would we see that? Have we reached the point? Once upon a time, a 10th overall selection, I believe that's what Josh Rosen was in that draft, right?
Yeah.
A 10th overall selection got flipped you could choose the first overall quarterback. Would we see a day and age, like what Carolina basically just say, we saw enough, he's not tall enough, he might be great enough neck up, he might be a sweetheart to have around, but we got to flip him out for Caleb Williams. Would they do that? What do you think?
I would do it.
What would you think?
Well, okay, when we were talking about Kenny Pickett, you were telling me that they drafted this quarterback, so they owe it to themselves to try to develop him.
Normally, you do that because you're a general manager who needs to hold on to your job to prove that you didn't screw it up.
But to switch a one for a one, you're basically
admitting, first overall, yeah, for first overall.
That you got it wrong, like, immediately.
But you have the opportunity to correct it right away, and not just correct it right away, but with somebody who's such a supposed generational talent that he looks like Mahomes.
Yeah, and you save a year. You save a year on the clock.
And you save a year on the clock.
That's the thing. That's one thing
I've
learned.
It's not costing you any more money.
You're a new GM too.
Oh man.
That wasn't your guy.
It wasn't your guy.
I see. Okay, now yeah. That's a different.
Which, by the way, Justin Fields wasn't Ryan Poles' selection.
Yeah.
True.
He got the job probably based on him saying, this is how I can build around Justin Fields.
Right.
Let's get the coach to build around Justin Fields. And they stuck with Fields last year. They had this very scenario, and they thought Fields, just only 2 years into his career, with two more years to go before you have to decide on a fifth-year option, or at least one more year before you have to decide prior to his fourth year, you had more runway, is basically what I'm saying, than they would have now. And neither Young or Stroud, even though Stroud turned into a unicorn.
Yeah.
But that may be the environment, as I said at the top of the program, of what the Texans had built around him.
He had some great receivers.
And the coaching staff. I'm just saying, like, that's what's happening to Justin Fields. And I think it is the right move. I've seen enough of Caleb Williams to know that if you can get somebody who has a skill set that looks a hell of a lot like Mahomes, you have to go get him. Because in this NFL world, you can't even turn that opportunity down. You can't. No matter how many fans love Justin Fields and have fallen in love with Justin Fields and wanted him to be the guy who leads the parade like Ferris Bueller down Michigan Avenue. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you had hoped for, but you can't turn it down to the point where I'm wondering, would the Panthers, if they had this option? Because Washington also had Sam Howell built up for a year. What if they're drafting 10th overall? Would they flip Sam Howell to Seattle to go get J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix? Probably not. But they're second overall. They've got a new coach, new ownership, and they want to start so from scratch, they might change the damn team name.
Yeah, reset.
So that's why Sam Howell gets flipped to Seattle. You know?
Yep.
And so that's what we're seeing here. If you're struggling as a quarterback in the NFL coming into the league, and you're on a team that winds up so bad that they're at the top of an NFL draft again with a highly skilled quarterback class coming out, you might lose your job. Yeah. Now, the Steelers situation, I still can't wait to watch this whole thing play out. Because Pickett, I guess what? Did they get the sense that he's just not the guy? You're hearing that coming out, that they soured on Pickett's approach once they got Russell Wilson. Like, oh, Mason Rudolph, I'll compete with. Russ, I'm not competing with. There's the general narrative that's coming out of Pittsburgh right now. And Pittsburgh had already soured, supposedly, on Pickett because he didn't dress in the final game against Seattle when they asked him to, and he declined. And that's what started the souring, which makes no sense because they supposedly wanted to give him that third year after all of that. Until Russ comes along? And then Russ comes along and they're like, he's going to get the first rep in practice. And Kenny handled that so poorly, he's got to be sent to Philadelphia.
Yeah, he threw a tantrum or something?
Which sounds weird. I'm going to be straight up, sounds weird. And Pickett refused to, you know, comment on it. And then they go get Justin Fields, who finishes up his Chicago career like such a house of fire that he's going to be the backup no matter what. Because they got to see what Russ has.
As of March 19th.
It's wild. That one is weird. But again, if the general manager is not on the hot seat and can make moves like, all right, we're going to use a first-round pick on a quarterback, not just any quarterback, but a kid that the entire fan base knows because he played his entire college career here. And as a matter of fact, we know because we share a building with that college program. And this is great. And he's not ready. We'll have Trubisky start, and then we'll sit Trubisky, and then we'll throw him in there. And he'll have his usual ups and downs as a rookie quarterback, but he'll show some really unique ability to flip it, switch in the fourth quarter, and win some football games. And then give him the shot to start the next year. And he's up and down again, more down than up, gets hurt, and he's done. Here. And now he's got to go to Philadelphia and get reps whenever he can and hope for his Sam Darnold chance, his Baker Mayfield chance. So it seems like these are the way pro careers are going for these kids coming out of college. Either you get a shot right out of the gate and are a house of fire, or you wind up like Pickett, Fields, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Who else? I mean, who else has been drafted of recent years? Sam Darnold, did I mention him?
Earlier.
Okay. Like, that's the way it's going right now.
Yeah. Also, Richie, you mentioned Trubisky, crazy. And I've said this before. That's the reason the Bears can't pass up on Caleb. They passed up on Patrick Mahomes version one.
No doubt.
They could not take and risk the chance of not getting version two.
That is correct.
So they had to make this move.
I agree. All of it. None of it's wrong.
We obviously don't know what the Steelers' schedule will be, but if I give you week 7 for kind of the over-under of when the conversation is going to get so loud of, you know, they should just go to Fields now.
I don't know. They Russ gets the start. They'd have to be under 500.
Like what week does it really start?
If you're saying
loud?
Week 7, they'd have to be under 500 like 2 and 5. And the rest of the division doing what you expect them to do.
Yeah.
With division losses already on the ledger. It would have to be...
I'm just wondering, I guess my question is, like, how short is Russ's leash?
I don't know.
Like, how quick will
he get hooked? I have no idea, because the stuff that you're hearing coming out of Pittsburgh, based on all the reporting from all the people that we have on as guests, or I am colleagues with at NFL Network, is this is... that they're handing it off to Russ. This is his gig. So you'd have to figure the runway would be long.
But on March 19th, barring injury, we would all be shocked if he starts all 17 games?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because here's what. They're clearly into him. And I just, maybe I'm the eternal optimist here, but I just think that Russ has got to know. He's got to know. This is last chance saloon. Yeah. It really is. It really is. That after Denver went the way it went, which is they gave up so much for him, and then they paid him a monster contract on which he wound up playing a grand total of 0 downs. Two coaches with offensive, if you will, resumes or pedigrees, one of whom who is never been a head coach before, and the other one is the very definition of success in the NFL with a trophy in the case in Sean Payton. And both of them wound up having just 1 year with him. One of them had less than 1 year because he got fired, and the other one had every ounce of power in the organization to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, Walmart folks, we're going to have a sale. And you're going to end up, we're going to $85 million on the stick over 2 years, to the point where even if we draft a rookie quarterback, we lose all the benefits of having a rookie contract because we're going to be paying somebody else dead cat money. And that is on Russ's resume, whether he deserves it or not. But that happened. And if he had more success, it wouldn't have happened. He would have been sitting there in Denver on a Hall of Fame track for sure. Instead, he's now in Pittsburgh. Again, nothing is more serious for a quarterback of his stature than flying commercial through Newark.
I still love it. That was the key right there.
I love it.
All right.
That was the key.
It's true. I didn't go home.
All right. If you're a Hall of Fame quarterback with as much in the bank as someone like Russ, you're flying commercial through Newark?
No, absolutely not.
Sure.
No.
You should have $300.
Maybe. No. Maybe. No. Come on. Maybe through JFK. But Newark? So that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is it for him.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed, coming off of the last 2 years, that he would have found an organization that not only would have him come in, but have him come in as the clear starter. Like, this is his gig. And I think he knows this. And I think maybe, just maybe, whatever, there's been some self-stock taken on whatever happened the last 2 years. I don't know. I just also just saw a sit-down with him. He looks like he's cut some weight. Like, he looks like he's ready to roll. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and if he shows up and takes the Steelers to the playoff, if they win a conference championship appearance, if they win the division, if he takes the black and gold with Tomlin to a spot where we haven't seen in years, after the Steelers fans are all like sick and tired of this, if he does that.
Black and gold. Here we go.
Now, again, I know that people have their fun with that. because that's the sizzle, and we need to see the steak, as I mentioned yesterday.
It doesn't even sound like he believes it.
Because,
hearing him
well,
say
it's because
it.
He says it with the same vigor as Go Hawks and Broncos country, let's ride. And, let's ride. And you know, how could he? He's been there a week. Like, it wasn't even – he left from Newark because he had just visited with the Giants. So what it would be, oh, Big Blue, if they gave him the same opportunity as the Steelers? That's why it's tough for us to believe it.
Jets Nation, take flight.
That's what I mean. You know, like, so just fill in the blank he would have said that with the same vigor, which is why it's tough for us to believe. But I believe that he does have the knowledge of, like, that's a 25-year-old kid who runs like a deer and runs faster than me and takes more sacks than me, but he can run faster away from the sack than me. And if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, they're going to go to him.
I'll be honest, guys. I'm not a tape guy, but when you keep hearing how Russ, this is the end and this is his last chance, it's like you look at last year, right? The guy had the ninth most touchdown passes in the NFL.
No, I know.
Guys like Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and even Patrick Mahomes threw almost double the picks.
I know. And by the way,
so it's
and by the
weird
way,
to hear like Mark Schlereth, who is definitely not a Russ fan, say things like this guy's over and this is his last chance. It's like when you're a fan, like and you look at these stats, you're like, what are these guys?
Yeah, but
talking
some of those touchdowns were just like throw it up to Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, well, everyone's touchdowns are like that.
I get that.
Have we
and
seen
he
a
also
back through a 10-yard slant, and the guy takes an 80 to the house.
And Russ also beat Mahomes and Josh Allen last year. So I get it.
So that's why
I
that's
understand
why
what you're saying. It just didn't look very efficient and pretty, and it didn't look dominant. It looked like it was struggling, that there would be quarters upon quarters where the struggle was real. It didn't help that the coach was like airing them out in front of the whole country in Detroit. We learned that there was stuff going on behind the scenes and everything. And it's just a lot of drama that you don't normally associate with the Steelers welcoming that into their house. And it's not a lot of Russ's fault. I'm just saying that Russ has got to know that if it doesn't happen here, who else is going to say, we'll take a 36-year-old version of that? And he's in a great spot with a team that is loaded.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
They're gonna
and
run the
set
ball.
Up to run an offense that will suit him. But there is also a 25-year-old ready to take his job. Fascinating. Story of the year right now, I think, going into the NFL campaign. We'll see what happens in the draft
this.
And other stuff. Yeah, especially since it's not the Dallas Cowboys, but it's not like, hey,
well, I'm still close to the Steelers.
Just wait till they start playing
though,
games, you know? And then get close to January. Then the ground will shift.
I mean, why you like put me down like that?
844-204-RICH number, because I know what you're saying. Sure ain't the Jets, that's for sure. 844-204-RICH number to dial. Christian Laettner still to come as well on the program.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show once again. Every now and then this will happen. TJ Jefferson is asked a direct yes or no question by me in a conversation, and he nuances his way out of actually saying yes or no. At least you said yes. But if I asked you, would
right.
Carolina,
yeah.
if they were first overall.
If I'm the Panthers GM and I was facing this dilemma.
Right, that the Bears just decided to jettison Justin Fields. Would you tell Bryce Young we've seen enough already?
Yeah, we're starting over.
Okay. Now then, yes or no?
Well, it was a nuance because I had a question to ask you to help me inform my opinion.
Now I don't even remember what the question was now.
Well,
but
the question was, you guys made it seem like when a quarterback gets drafted high, they won't give up on him because it'll look bad on them.
Of course. Unless they draft somebody like Brock Purdy, unless somebody like Aaron Rodgers comes along and can prove the rest of your setup is ready for a quarterback who is ready. And then unfortunately, that guy then blows out his Achilles and proves that the quarterback that you thought was ready, then proved to be unready, is in fact as unready as you feared. That said,
I'm very nuanced.
Okay, that said, so that's why Joe Douglas still has his gig and Sean Lynch still has his gig, because, you know, the Niners are set up so well. It's obvious. I've tap danced long enough for you to give me an answer.
Well, now that I have the information necessary to make a judgment, I would say yes. They
I would say yes, too. I bet you they'd do that. I bet you they'd do that. And then Bryce Young would go for what? Like a 4 or a 5 or a 6 or something insane like that?
Probably wow.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the market right now.
Wow. A 4?
For the number one overall pick.
From last year. Yeah. Right.
A
3?
I'm going to put this out as a poll. Hold on a second.
I can't wait to ask this of, I think Mel Kiper's on tomorrow's program. We'll talk about that with him. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting here at my desk. I've got the Game Time app. Put it on your phone. Game Time app is there for you to put on your mobile phone, your mobile device, anything that you've got that is mobile, so you can go and get the Game Time app and start buying tickets to anything in your area, sports, music, comedy, theater near you. Easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area. There's last-minute tickets. There's views from all seats. There's a lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. There's so much that Game Time takes into account for you to take the guesswork and all the questions out of buying tickets and remove them by using Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use our code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Again, terms apply. Create an account and redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
All right, I'm putting this out as a poll. The first question, if the Panthers had their own number one pick this year, would they trade Bryce Young to draft Caleb Williams?
Yes or no, straight up, right?
Yes or no, straight up.
Okay. Hey, Rich, I have a Game Time question. What, job loss prevention?
Yes, there's all sorts of stuff for you on there,
TJ. Right.
I've got my bracket right here, Christian Laettner. Should I go over game by game with Christian Laettner? Would that be a good use of his time?
All 63 games?
That's a lot of games.
I think that's pretty, yeah. That's good use of his time.
I have UConn winning it all.
Way to go out on a limb there.
Hey, listen, that's what do you want me to do?
He went shot.
I don't know.
What do you care?
Rich, that's a great guess. Because they're really good.
I know.
Mike knows because he did.
And by the way, he's going on a limb. We haven't seen back-to-back winners. Only what? Leitner's done it.
They've been the best team in the country all season.
Right. So
I mean,
I don't know.
What do you want?
Well, that's where you wind up. Yeah. That's why you wind up meeting your maker in the second round. Yeah.
Tennessee, Creighton. I don't know.
Creighton also.
Illinois.
It's the only. By the way, it's the only one seed I have in my Final Four.
Who? UConn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh,
there you go. That's good.
That's a limb. Chris, what do you have winning?
I will not fill this out.
What do you mean you won't fill it out?
You won't fill it out. He refuses to fill it out.
What are you talking about?
You told me that's important.
We're having a contest. Xander and Cooper and Taylor, my children, have already filled out brackets, and they're in our group.
They have probably combined watch more college basketball than I have this year.
They have not. I can tell you.
I would take that
Excuse me. I can tell you the only way that they, in the past few years, have watched college basketball in a regular season is because Michigan has been playing and playing well. That didn't happen this year. They haven't seen a lick of college basketball.
I've definitely seen the most.
Taylor will sometimes choose a team because she likes dogs. So she will take Gonzaga goes on a run in her bracket every year.
I might do mascots this year.
Good way to go.
But you're definitely filling out a bracket, Chris.
The Huskies, one of the best mascots, so you could
especially since the guy to your left is going to start talking about, like, suddenly he is.
He has watched so much more basketball.
I've done like 40 games. I've done all the top teams.
Yeah, but you don't even remember the games that you're working for.
I'm Purdue.
Like, honestly.
I know his mother. We show his mother all the time.
You know his mom?
Yes.
Say hi to his mother for me.
I will. And oh, by the way.
This guy.
UConn, Purdue, Creighton, they're all. I know Tennessee.
This guy's going to say, like, he's like Billy Packer reincarnated. On top of Dick McGuire. You know, he's like he's suddenly the king of college basketball. You were looking for the John Wooden pyramid over there to start quoting things. Like this guy. You've got to save us from that. Please take him out.
No, it's his birthday today, man. Like, come on.
Yeah, but you happy can take birthday. Me out anyway.
Happy birthday. My gift is to get Brockman to fill out a bracket.
Yeah, Brockman, you gotta fill one out.
Stop
it's
us.
Easy. Dude. Just go chalk.
I know it's easy, but
who are you gonna have winning? Who do you have winning at all,
Mike? Last time we had to repeat.
Oh, UConn. Purdue. I'm taking Purdue, UConn in the final.
Okay, who do you got?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, you see?
I'm still going game by game.
I did it last night.
So good?
I got
a couple upsets early.
It's an annual tradition in our house. Taylor filling out her bracket. She went on and she kept on clicking on the videos. I saw more Joe Lenardi videos last night than I thought I'd ever see in my entire life.
Did you go to Ken Pom last night?
I didn't go to Ken Pom.
You didn't go to Ken Pom?
No.
Come on.
I don't even know who the hell Ken Pom
is. Ken Pom?
Ken Pomeroy.
Ken Pom knows a lot.
That's explained yesterday.
But honestly, like, Taylor would know who Joe Lenardi is now. So you have to fill out a bracket, all right?
Fine. Baylor, they're good, right?
Oh, my God. Who? Christian Leitner's coming up. Get your act together.
Baylor won the title a couple years ago, right?
They're not bad. Baylor's good. Yeah, Baylor won in 20 right after the pandemic, so 21.
All right.
So my other final four is they're the two seeds.
Who you got in your final four?
You got three two seeds?
Yeah, I do. UConn, Arizona, Marquette, and Tennessee.
I got Arizona, too.
I got Marquette versus Tennessee. Team.
Marquette, is Buzz Williams still the coach?
Marquette's definitely good, not. Too. Rich, we have a lot of the same up to that end.
Mike, did you fill out the bracket?
Yeah, it's on ESPN. I did it. Yeah
so we got to get the photos of the mugs.
By the way,
I'm really good at this.
When it says on ESPN, they highlighted it on First Take today is what he means.
Yes.
That's how famous, that's how good he is at knowing this. They basically told,
they showed it on ESPN.
They told Seth Greenberg, sit down.
Show Del Tufo's bracket. Del Tufo's
got it. Did I get that right?
I'm pretty good at the
Seth
brackets.
Seth Greenberg on ESPN?
I am pretty
Seth
good.
Seth Greenberg? Yeah, he's still. He's
I'll never forget. I'll never, ever, ever forget with Dick Vitale, what was there all the time. Man. And Digger Phelps was the analyst on SportsCenter all the time. And he had all of these, you know, highlighters that matched his tie, the color of his tie.
Highlighters, man.
So he had all these highlighters on the desk, and he was using all of these highlighters on his note cards, and I'm like, so what's your color code system? Like, why is some fact pink and why is one yellow and why is one blue? And he looked at me and goes, I just grab whichever one I have.
He thought there was
analysis.
Wasn't that deep.
Analysis. Digger Phelps.
I mean,
just had highlighters, just grabbed whatever had, and he was just marking up his card.
I watched him coach.
No system to it at all. That's Mike Del Tufo. Notre Dame guys to the end.
Go on.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.